And he's our all. Amen. He's everything to us. He's our breath. He's our life. He's our next heartbeat. God is our all and our all. I want to invite your attention just for a few minutes to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And what I want you to do is to look at this verse as God saying to you, this is my invitation. This is what I'm going to work out in your life if you would just trust me. If you'll just place your confidence in me, I can do this. Because Lord knows we can't do this by ourselves. There are a lot of people that are losing it because this thing has been going on in their mind too long. Then there are a lot of people unrelated to Corona, carrying burdens, having the weight of the world on their shoulders, and wondering, what am I going to do? Hear the word of Jesus saying to you and those online, those that will be listening over the airways, those that are tuning in right now, I want you to hear not Coleman speaking, but the word of God speaking to you directly and telling you, come to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. From Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Father, we thank you again for your word. This is your good promise to your people. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Say with me, God's good promise. God makes promises, but not all of the promises in the Bible are for you. God made promises to specific people that he was talking to at that time. You cannot go to that person's promise and say, that's my promise. Because if God wasn't talking to you, then you may be receiving something that's not really yours. People get frustrated when they read the Bible as a blanket letter and they say, well, all of it's for me. All of it is for you, but every promise God didn't make to you. What do you mean by that, preacher? When God made a promise to Israel that he was going to give them land to live on, God may not have made that promise to you. He wanted them to be established as a nation, and so there were specific promises just to Israel, just to them. Now, don't get bent out of shape. Don't get twisted now, because just because he made a promise to Israel doesn't mean that he didn't make any promises to you. He did. But you just got to know which ones are for you. And the ones that are for you, you can say, Lord, thank you for your good promise. There were specific promises that God made through and to the prophets because they were giving out the word of God. God said to them, I'm talking to you. He said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I shaped you and I fashioned you in your mother's womb. That was a promise made to Jeremiah. Now, all of us can go to the Bible and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because that's a general promise. How many of y'all know that? Or the Lord is the light of my life. That's a general promise. Do not go to the Bible and get something and you dig in there and you read it. You better watch who God made the promise to. Otherwise, you will get confused and you will get to the point where you start saying to yourself, God didn't keep his promise. I want to tell you something. Out of all the promises made by God Almighty, he has kept everyone. everyone. Even some of the people who may have died waiting on the promise, God will dig them up. And he will resurrect them and say, I'm keeping my promise. Here in this verse of scripture, we have a promise from Jesus. Anytime you have God Almighty saying, I shall, that means it hasn't been done yet, but it will be done. He says in this verse, I shall give you rest. What a promise. What a promise. And this promise that he makes, which Jesus made many of those other promises, they're included with these words, whosoever. Now, the whosoever is not in this one, but the word all is. Are y'all listening to me today? He says in this verse, come unto me all who labor. How many of you are working, struggling, trying to do your very best in life? And it seems that people who have set their minds on evil are just floating by. They don't have any cares. They don't have any worries. But I wish you could see what their end is going to be. Look at somebody, tell them, hold on here. You cannot give up on God's promise just because you don't see it now. Jesus says, I shall, which means it might be a while, but it's going to happen. It is going to happen because it is the promise made by God Almighty. Are y'all still in the building? Jesus makes another promise in John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there it is, that word all, whosoever, anybody, whoever comes to him shall not perish. Notice the word shall not perish. That means God making that, he's making that promise to you, and he's making that promise to me. Now, why is it that some have not taken him up on this promise? Why is it that some continue to rebel and say, wait a minute, I don't need that in my life? Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you one guarantee. You will step out of this life. You will step into eternity. If you have not taken care of this transaction, if you have not done what he says here, believe in him, what's going to happen? You shall perish. But thank God. Do I have a praying church in here? Thank God that some of us folk that believe the word of God, we said to ourselves, you know what? If he made me that promise, I'm going to take him up on it. It doesn't mean we've lived that good. Some of us used to drink. Some of us might still be, but yeah. Some of us used to party. Some of us used to carry on. But God picked us up. God turned us around. Not because of your effort, but when you called out to him and said, Lord, save me. God snatched you out of your sin. Oh, can I talk to somebody today? He picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground. That's the only reason why you can say, I am saved and I shall not perish. But now watch this. If you only have the knowledge of you just going through life saved, and not understanding the operation of the Holy Spirit and how he's working in your life right now, you can carry a lot of burdens. You can assume, I'm going to make my way through life, and everything is going to be all right, but burden after burden begins to come on your shoulders. And the God who saved you, the God who saved me, looked at my life and said, I don't want you carrying those burdens. Are y'all listening today? So he gives this amazing invitation. Come to me. Normally, a parent gives that invitation, come here, when the child has done something wrong. But here is God Almighty seeing you, watching you struggle, watching you being broken by the things of this life. Here is God Almighty looking at your circumstance and said, come to me. Come to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful promise. You know what it is? It is an endless promise. Endless promise. Why do you say that, preacher? It's an endless promise because of the supply that God gives behind this word, I shall give you rest. That means no matter what kind of thing you're going through that is causing you discomfort and burden, God can take care of it. I'm going to tell you something. One of the jobs I used to have was in the insurance industry. I've had more jobs than I had cars, but anyway. And I had this job where you had to know what was on your policy. A lot of people think that because you buy insurance, it covers everything. It does not cover everything. That's why they give you the policy. And a part of your policy says this is excluded, which means you might have it to happen to you, but we ain't going to pay for it. Are y'all in the house today? That's your insurance company. And I know they tell you, you're in good hands except for your exclusion. You got a piece of the rock except for your exclusions. Amen. And the little Geico thing, you know, except for your exclusions. When it comes to your exclusions, you are not covered. But here, right here, God Almighty is saying that you will never carry a burden that I can't cover. Do y'all see what I'm seeing? Do you see what I'm seeing? Here is God with his endless promise that no matter what you're going through, I can handle that burden. I can take that need. So all you've got to do is come to me. If you're in darkness, I'll give you light. If we're in pain, I'll give you healing. If you need strength, I'll give you strength. If you're weak and burdened down, I will give you rest. It's an endless promise. Thank God for his end. But then also, I look at this. It's one thing for me to cover myself during a period of time. Your insurance starts at 12:01 midnight, September 1st. All right? And then it'll tell you, we're going to end this thing 6 months later, and you got to renew it. I wish I could preach like I'm feeling right now. But you never have to renew your policy with God, because God got you covered every day, every year, or even through the eons of time. You can look forward in time, and as long as you live, even in the next life, God says, I got you covered. Here is Jesus standing in time and making an infinite promise that no matter when my children are born, here he was, amen, in AD 33, here is Jesus making this promise to us who are standing here in 2020 with all this crazy mess going on called Corona. Here is God saying, I got you covered. Don't you know what's happening? People are losing heart. People are afraid. They're afraid that they'll get contaminated. They're afraid that if I come down with this, some people who need treatment, they're afraid to go to the doctor because they think if I go there, I might contract this disease. A lot of people are afraid. And you know what Jesus is saying? Come here. Families going through stressful time because everybody lost their job in the house. You know what Jesus is saying? Come here. People going through struggles right now because they're wondering, I'm working two part-time jobs and I still don't have any insurance. Jesus is saying, come here. He's still a way maker. He's still a burden bearer. Now, the thing that surprised me about this verse, when a lot of us come to Jesus and we want deliverance and we want God to come into our life and give us rest, we really want God to get rid of this stuff that we're going through. Are y'all still in the house? Here we are 6 months later and still Corona is still hanging out, still chilling out like it ain't going nowhere. But you know what Jesus says? If you come to me, I don't have to end every problem in your life. I don't have to cause every storm to be ceased. I don't have to end every battle that you're facing. I will come to you right in the middle of the battle, and I'll still win it for you. Somebody didn't hear what I was saying. So it's an endless promise that he makes to us, but also it's an expensive promise. This thing is expensive. Have you ever picked up a piece of jewelry and from the looks of it, you say, man, this thing is expensive. Those are the ones, yeah, they'd keep behind the lock and key. The other cosmetic stuff, yeah, you can pick it up. You can see it hanging out there. But stuff that's really expensive, they keep it behind the shelf. As a matter of fact, some of it, they don't even put on display. Are y'all in the house today? You say, preacher, why is this expensive to God? It was expensive because what he could have said, if you come, I'll get an angel to help you. And you know, if God had said that, if Jesus had said that, and he'd sent an angel, it would have worked and we would have never known the difference. But what makes this expensive is that here is God Almighty saying, I'm going to do it personally. Here is the ruler of the universe, the maker of everything, saying, I'm not going to leave this to an angel because I'm going to do this. I love you just that much. Look at somebody, tell them, God loves you just that much. Are y'all going to pray with me? See, when you look to him, what he did was so expensive. What he did was irreplaceable. Because no matter how many generic brands of rest there are out there, only one kind will really work. He said, I'm going to give you rest to your souls. I got any country folk in here? How many of y'all been in the field? You've been working and you couldn't wait to get to the end of your row where you would take what's called a rest break or a water. Any country folk in here? You got to the end of your row, but you knew you still had another row. But here is Jesus saying, I'm going to give you a special kind of rest, not the physical rest, not just mental rest, but I'm going to give rest deep down in your soul. How many of you have been burdened down in your soul and you cried out to God, Lord, how long is this storm going to last? How long will this thing be in my life? And then Jesus says to you, I'll give you rest unto your soul. Only one kind of rest can meet your soul need, and that's God Almighty. This is expensive. This is one of a kind. This is God saying to you, I am going to come to you personally, and I'm going to give you my rest. In the Hebrew, they called it Sabbath, which meant God worked 6 days, but then on the seventh, he rested. Ah, great God Almighty. God's saying, I'm going to give you my rest, the rest that I have. Some people say, we're chilling out. You're doing more than that. Amen. Some people say, we're just taking a break. No, you're doing more than that. You're resting in Jesus. A lot of us assume that we have to leave this world in order to get that rest. Somebody dies. We'll say, oh, they're resting in the Lord. No, they're dead. Sister Chambers can tell you, they dead. Amen. When they stop breathing, they dead. But Jesus is telling us, while you're still alive in this life, while the blood is still running warm in your vein, I, God Almighty, will give you rest. Great God Almighty. The tears you have to cry, you won't have to cry them by yourself. The struggles you have to go through, you won't have to go through it by yourself. Because the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, which means it's not only expensive, it's not only the kind of rest that is endless, but it's also effective. It works. It works. How many of you all have gone to, well, just about everybody, go and raise your hand before I ask the question. Okay, you already know the answer. How many of you have gone to the doctor and you got some medication and they say, well, we're going to try this. But then a couple of weeks later, you've been trying it and it still ain't working. Amen. So you go back and you get some more. That's because you're being treated by man. Some of y'all, okay, all the men, raise your hand. Some of y'all like the home remedy. It got high blood pressure and I'm going to drink some vinegar. Come on, talk to me in here. Yeah, I'm on. Now you know better. Come on. You've got to be treated. A lot of us are weary and burdened down. And we tell people, I'm all right. No, you're not all right. You're carrying a burden and it's breaking you. How do you know it? Because it begins to affect your relationships. Now you can't speak to folk. Now you can't look folks in the eye. Now you've got the, and people will look at, and they can see that something is wrong with you. They know it. Your family members are saying, can I help? And you really want to tell them, I don't even know what's wrong with me. How can you help me? Here is Jesus saying, come to me. Great God Almighty. I wish I could preach this thing the way I feel it. So he gives this invitation that is effective. And he says, now, here is not only the prescription, but here is the therapy. Take my yoke upon you. Again, country folk, you would yoke up not one animal, but two. I know some of the city folk are saying, why you do that? Because one animal couldn't pull the weight. Y'all still in the house? All right, don't tune me out just cause you not from the country, but my country understanding is kicking in, Reverend Gibbons. I knew you grew up in Pennsylvania, and so y'all didn't have this experience, but the wagon was too much for one mule to hook up, so Grandpa would get the other mule and put him on the other side. And there together, they would pull that weight of that wagon. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I've looked at you. I see the burden that you're carrying, but here's the point. All you got to do is put on the yoke and walk with him. You don't have to carry the load. He said, I'll pull it. And I noticed something that my grandpa would do. He would always put the strongest mule over on the right side. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me the way I feel. He would put him on the right side. I said, Grandpa, why are you doing this? He said, because this mule is a little bit older and weaker, and it can't pull the load, but this one can pull it. God sees you with your burden, and so he says, now, I'm not going to remove the burden, but I'm going to take your load for you. I'm going to take your tears. I'm going to take your cares. I'm going to take the pressure that you're feeling right now. I still want you there, but all you've got to do is walk with me. Look at somebody, tell them, walk with Jesus. You say, why wouldn't God just take the thing away? You know, there are a lot of Christians that have that question. Why doesn't God just solve all these problems? Why do they got to be killing in the world? Why are we seeing all this pain? Why months later we're still dealing with corona and people are still getting sick and dying? Why are we doing, God, why can't you do something? You know what God says? I am doing something for the people that will take on my yoke. If you come join me, I'll show you what I'm doing. So first thing that happens when we take on the yoke, and the thing that is effective to us, is that you begin to walk with God Almighty. While you're walking, he talks with you. While you're walking, he gives you instructions, saying, okay, the reason why this happened in your life, because this burden actually came from a decision that you made. Lord, help me, Jesus preaching here. Amen. God will cause you to understand the missteps that you've taken and also the mistakes that you've made. But instead of, amen, coming against you, he's saying, I'm still helping you pull this load. Are y'all still in the house? So it becomes an opportunity for us to learn. Notice Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn. 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 Now, why is it that people can't learn? I'm going to give you three lies and then I'm going to go to my seat. First lie that people tell themselves, if you do what's right, good things going to happen to you. I don't know who said that, but the Bible does not. Let me help y'all out. You mean if I do what's right? Amen. No. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a thing of where you do what's right. Otherwise, Jesus went to the cross for nothing if you do what's right and nothing bad. Well, I see y'all looking at me crooked. I see you kind of shaking your preacher, you mean to tell me that if I give my life to God, I'm still going to have a problem? Yeah. You mean to tell me, preacher, if I love my neighbor still might hate me? Yeah. You mean to tell me, preacher, that if I go through the grocery store and I don't pick the grapes and I don't steal stuff off the shelf, that, amen, I do good, amen, that I'm still going to have a problem? Yes. That's just life. But during this life, you have an opportunity to walk with God. Here is Jesus right beside you. When you cry, he knows what you're crying about. When you face those struggles, he knows what struggles you're facing, and he tells you, listen to me, and I'll walk you through this. I'll take you through this. How many of y'all getting something from this message? I see y'all looking at me. So if you tell yourself, oh, I just need to do the right thing and a good thing's going to happen, not necessarily. Some things good will happen. Amen. Even when you do the wrong thing. The Lord just had mercy on you. Hello, somebody. So you mean to tell me that the burden you got, that God can't handle it? Come on now. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about the one that hung the stars in the sky. I'm talking about the one, amen, that scooped out the ocean. I'm talking about Almighty God that made the planets in outer space. I'm talking about God. And you're telling me that God can't handle your burden? Come on now. Who are you talking about? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the ruler of the universe. He is the great I Am. And he had the nerve to say, I am Alpha and Omega. Let me break that down to you. Before anything was, I was already there. And after everything is gone, I'm still going to be right here. I'm talking about God. God Almighty. So he says in this verse that I'm going to my seat, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, what are you going to learn? What lesson will you learn? You'll learn that it ain't all about the big shots. It's not all about the important folk. Here's Jesus saying, I am meek and lowly. Let me tell you something. If you or I was God and we had control of the sun, just the sun, we don't need the other planets. If we had the control of the sun, we would use the sun either to burn everybody up or freeze them. You don't go along with my, but does God do? No, he lets his sun rise on the just and on the unjust. Why? Because God is meek and lowly. If I had control of the clouds, I'd have every cloud spelling my name. Come on now, talk to me. But God, he's meek and lowly. Yet when you look at the clouds, you say, wait a minute. Somebody put that there, and his name is, y'all ain't gonna pray. He is meek and lowly. So while you're together with him, and you in this yoke, and he's on the other side pulling the weight, you're watching him. You're seeing him move. If he doesn't do it, you don't do it. If he doesn't say it, you don't say it. Oh, I hate this life. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? How can you hate a life that was given to you as a gift? You don't hear Jesus talking like that. Walk with him and listen to him. And while you're carrying that burden, he would say, blessed is my Father who sent me. Good God Almighty. You learn to have some good talks with. How many of y'all had those good talks early in the morning before you even wake up, before you get out of bed and even assume your way? God's already taking care of it. And he's letting you know, okay, we got this day covered. All you got to do is listen, and I'm going to tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what to say, and how to act. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I ask Jesus to walk with me. Why do I need him to walk with me? Because the way gets long and the burden gets heavy, but I can take it. And child of God, you can take it today because you have God's good promise. Folks going to look at you, and rather than seeing you with your burden, they're going to look at you and say, wait a minute, something's different about them. They got this smile on their face. You know how, notice how Christians smile a whole lot. I know you can't see the smile behind the mask. Maybe y'all need to paint a smile on there. Yeah. But they smile because they're happy. And they're happy because they're free. Free people, amen, don't have a burden. Free people know that God didn't bring them this far to leave them there. Look at somebody, tell them, walk on, walk on, walk on, child of God. Amen. You've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And he never failed you yet. So at the end of this service, at the Crossroad Baptist Church in Evington, Virginia, the question to you is this: who will walk with you to carry your burden? If it's not the Lord, I don't know what you got. But if it is the Lord, he's a way maker. He's a burden bearer. He's a friend that never lost a friend. He's the one that will stand with you throughout your life. Here is Jesus saying, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. That is God's good promise to you and to me. I'm not worried about Corona now. I'm not worried about it. Because we've already told him about it. And he's going to work it out. Now I'm going to do what's necessary. And please don't get too close to me, because I'm going to tell you, you're in my space. You is in my space. And you need to get out of my space, all right? Amen. I'm going to wash my hands, which I have a practice of that anyway. I'm going to do what's necessary. But I'm not going to walk around burdened, and neither should you. Free yourself. Maybe that's not your burden, but whatever your burden is, free yourself today. Because Jesus has given this massive invitation to everybody who was, who is, and who shall be. And this is God's good promise. This is Betty Mosley Coleman's son telling you today, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Mama must be chiming in from glory. Hallelujah. Hey, give the Lord a hand clap today. Amen. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Come on, clap your hand. Walk with me, Lord. Come on and walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Can I tell you the story? He walked with my mother. Come on, folks. Walk with me. What did he do? He walked with my mother. Come on and walk with me. While I'm on this old tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Old folks were saying, he walked with my father. Come on and walk with me. He walked with my father. Lord, walk with me. to walk with me. All right, we're getting ready to get out of here. Did y'all get something today? Amen. I pray the Lord will bless you. You can leave your offering as you go out today. Also, we have been taking attendance so that we'll know if something happens. We will be able to respond to you very quickly. So if you have filled that out, drop it in the offering plate as well as we go out. God bless you. We're going to have the benediction now. Amen. As we prepare to close. Amen. Going to ask, come and bless us.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap, amen. I thank Pastor Cone for bringing us a good word about it. But let me leave you with an encouragement word for the week, amen. Y'all want to be encouraged? Amen. The Bible says that in one of the songs, let me encourage you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, sing along with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord? He is God. It is he that has made us a mount we have failed. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful. Somebody say, be thankful. Be thankful and bless his name. For the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endure it to all generations. Can we just bow his? I know we can have open prayer, can you just raise your hand and touch and agree with the Lord? It's something about coming together on one accord. Lord God, once again, we say thank you. For this another world, another refreshing world, which you have given us. Thank you, Lord God, for all brothers have heard the word. Lord God, we pray what we will be doing of the world now, and not here only. Thank you, God, for being God. Lord God, and then forgive us of all our sins, our shortcomings. Lord God, we pray, God, but we will rest. Confess them every day. Believe in my heart, but we have bowed on Calvary. And from both God, we can both repent and be sorry for all our shortcomings. Don't worry. Well, God, we thank you for this another time when we have come to worship, adore you, and magnify you. Now, and for him, that's able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before his presence. With receiving joy, through the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. And let's just say it. Lord God, we're thankful for what one's going to give. We pray, God, for your blessings upon this offering. Bless it in a good measure. Press down. Shake together. Amen.